The selected scripture reading for this morning is taken from Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 through 27. I will be reading from the King James Version. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and does them not, I will liken him to a wise man that built his house upon a rock. And the rains descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And every one that hears these sayings of mine and does them not shall be likened unto a foolish man who built his house upon the sand. And the rains descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it.
Let me add my welcome to all of our visitors that are with us today. We're especially happy to have all of you. And visiting with us today is my older brother and his wife, Kay Ann. Just kidding, all right? Yeah, we argue over who got the brains and who got the looks. It's obvious, okay? Also visiting with us today is our brother J.J. Turner and his wife Isabel. And as most of us know, J.J. was with us here at Newland Street for some 14 years. And now we have Richard here with us for 20 years. So I've been an elder here for 37 years now. Seems like only 50. But I've been here for 37 years, and I've had the privilege of working with two men for 34 of those 37 years. And I say privilege because they both are wonderful preachers and preach the word. So at this time, without any further remarks, J.J., come and preach the word, brother.
I think John Denver said it best. Hey, it's good to be back home again. You know, last month I celebrated trying to preach for 51 years. And in those 51 years, I've spoken over 10,000 times, 23 countries, 40 states. But this is my, as the little boy says, favorite place. It's a real blessing for us to be with you this morning. Every August so far, first Saturday in August, we travel to San Diego to have a family reunion with Isabel's family, which, of course, after a few weeks of being married, is now my family also. And so we can't come out this way without, if possible, coming to visit with the family here. Richard and elders and others, thank you for letting us stand in this, I call it a sacred spot. God had only one son. He said in Mark 1 and verse 38, let's go into the next town that I may preach there also, because that's why I have come forth. I want to ask you some questions this morning, but before I do, I want to reread. We know that you have to hear something a minimum of 7 times to start remembering, maybe even where it's located. So I'll read our portion of scripture again this morning. How many of you have your Bibles? All right, let's meet God in His Word. Matthew 7, beginning in verse 24. So I hear those pages turning. Therefore, apologize for not reading what's gone before, but we understand that what He has said before is leading to what is going to follow. Whoever hears, how many of you are going to listen this morning? The rest of you, I hope you change your mind. Amen? Amen. These sayings of mine, so not J.J., not Richard, not someone else, but the Master is speaking and does them. Oh, no. He has taken me out of the audit status. He's taking me out of just simply hearing status. He's taking me out of just simply talking about it. But He says, you need to do. It reminds us of what James says in James 1, verses 21 through 25. Be ye doers of the word and not just auditors. So he has our attention now and we move forward. M to a wise man. How many of you would like to be known as a wise person? Not a wise guy, but a wise person. Well, some of you do, and I don't know about the rest of you, but anyway, that's Richard's challenge here. Who built his house on a rock, not the movie star or the wrestler, but the curve from the Old Testament Christ, the Petros of the New Testament, that firm rock of deity, ultimately. And the rains descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house. And it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But anytime you have a but, you know you're going to go in the opposite direction, usually. Everyone that hears, we've all said, we're going to hear this morning, these sayings of mine, Christ is speaking to us, and does not do them. Where is the out here? There's no out. We will either do or we will not do what he is advocating here. But then we come to a word that if you use it arbitrarily, calling someone a fool, you're in danger of hellfire, Jesus says. We'll be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rains descended and the floods came. The winds blew and beat on that house and it fell and great was the fall. And so it was, verse 28, when Jesus had ended these sayings, that the people were astonished at what he said. In Proverbs 16 and verse 25, Solomon said, there's a way that seems right unto a man. Have you ever been traveling? Now wives can especially testify to this one. And you're trying to find a place and your husband, Isabel's husband also, is very, very sure that we're going on the right road, especially when we come to an intersection where we should turn or not turn. And the driver says, this seems like the right road. And so we go down that road. I remember years ago, we were going to Canada and we were coming out of New York City. And of course, there were several freeways there. And so Isabel said, you need to go on this one. I said, oh no, I know it's this one. So 60 miles later, I finally acquiesced and said, you're right. You're right. I guess it's a gene, Stan, that each of us has that we cannot do that. GPS helps us now. The word way in Hebrew is hodos. I know that excites you. It just simply means a path. A roadway, and it carries with it the idea of being trodden down. So there is the repetitive traveling over this road. And so Solomon says there's a road that has been trodden down over and over, and it seems right. It seems right. But Jesus said, no, we need to realize that we can make foolish decisions. There's a way that seemeth right, but the end thereof is the way of destruction. It's probably exciting to learn that the word wisdom is used 135 times in the Bible. You need to write that down, amen. 127 of these in the Old Testament. And so it brings to the forefront the question, what is wisdom? What is wisdom? When is a person really wise? What would cause a family to buy a house or a car that they could not afford? An unwise decision. What would cause a bank to default and go belly up with the creditors? An unwise decision. Why would someone run a credit card through the roof that they could not pay for? Unwise decision. Why would a person drink alcohol and do drugs in front of their children? Are you guessing with me? An unwise decision. Why would a couple marry and then, when things start to go wrong, believe you me, it probably will, amen? Because we set for better or for worse. We set ourselves up for it. Get a quick divorce. Unwise decision. Why would someone drive drunk? I think you're getting the idea. Unwise decision. Why would someone, we're getting a little more home now, why would someone choose to live a lukewarm Christian life? Unwise decision. Why would someone reject the gospel of Christ, which, by the way, is the only power of God unto salvation, Romans 1:14 through 16, so that they would miss heaven that Jesus prepared, John 14:1 through 6. Unwise decision. Why would someone rob, steal, commit larceny, on and on and on again? What's the answer? Are you folks getting it? Unwise decision. Why would someone neglect their health? And this is not my favorite one. Neglect their health, their diet, their exercise, and all of these things. The medical profession says unwise decision. Now here's the question. What has been one of the most unwise decisions you've ever made? I don't want to hear it. But I think probably 6 out of 9 of us could say, or 9 out of 6, that's better, that's Cajun logic. Some of you remember that, amen? That we have made unwise decisions. But we are living in a legacy of unwise decisions. Who was the first person that we have history of that made an unwise decision? Who? Our greatest, greatest grandmother, amen? Eve. Can you imagine what it would have been like to be in the Garden of Eden? And you can have everything but one thing. But there seems to be something in human nature that says, I don't want just 99, I want all 100. And then Satan comes. He wasn't dressed on that occasion in his red suit with his little pitchfork and his little horns. But he came as a serpent. And he gave her a new suggestion. Because God had said in a very clarion voice, on the day that you eat thereof, you will surely die. And you will know something that you've not known before. Never have you known before the difference between good and evil. I wish Grandma had not done that. Because we go to the silent city over and over because of her unwise decision. And she bought the lie. You can become a god. And God doesn't want any competition. All I know is what the Bible says. And she made the first unwise decision that was ever made in the human family. And guess what? Her descendants have been making it ever since. Her husband. Then notice her boys. Cain killed Abel. Unwise decision. We follow that line all the way through. Look at Abraham. He lied about Sarah. Unwise decision. We come to the Tower of Babel. Perhaps the reasoning was, the world has been destroyed by a flood, but if we can build a tower high enough, the next time a flood comes, we can climb up there. I don't know. But we know that languages were confounded, and people were driven all over the universe, and there's more than 1,000 languages now. Unwise decision. Over and over we see in the Bible. And then there is Noah. What a boat ride he had. After the successful grounding, successful walking on earth again, he chooses what a lot of people do who've been successful, and he gets drunk. There without clothing, his boys see him, and we know what the Bible says about that in Genesis 11:1-8. Unwise decision. Sodom and Gomorrah. There's a commandment given by Jesus that very few obey. How many of you have this week remembered Lot's wife? Now we say we obey all the commandments. There's over 1,000, so you better be careful. Jesus gave 300 plus of those. But Jesus said, remember Lot's wife. She had a very simple command. Don't look back. And like her great-grandmother, I'm not going to get into this, and like women's sense, I'm not going there. She looked back. And every time now we have a pinch of salt, we remember Lot's wife, don't we? No, we don't. No, not at all. And so the tale, the legacy goes on and on and on. We had a major victory at Jericho. The odds were against us that we would defeat this large city. But we know we did, marching around 7 times, blowing trumpets. What a battle plan. And then we come up to the little city of Ai, and we lose up there. Why? His name is Achan. God said, don't you touch any of those spoils. And then Achan sees the gold, the silver, all of the spoils that are available. And through the lust of his flesh, James 1:13 through 17, he takes those spoils, which this is just an arrayed, desolate battlefield. And he takes those spoils and he buries them under a rug in his tent. Safe. Safe. But you know, when you've won the big battle and then you lose the little battle, something is wrong. And so they start to pursue the answer to what happened. And they find out that Achan made an unwise decision. I would imagine as those rocks bounced off of his head, he said, oh my, I wish I had it to do all over again. I wouldn't do it. That's life, isn't it? I wish I had not done that. I wish I had not. Then there is David. A man after God's own heart. Isn't that wonderful? Wouldn't it be wonderful to have the epitaph? J.J., a man after God's own heart. That's David, King David, the slayer of the giant. One day when he should perhaps have been out working, he's casually looking off of his balcony and there he sees another man's wife. And you know the rest of the story. He committed adultery. And Nathan confronted him and said, you are the man. Then the death of the child after that. Unwise decision. Life history is full of one unwise decision after another. And the regret is, I wish I had not made that decision. Some can be rectified. Some can be adjusted. But some cannot. I read not long ago about a young man that literally had his whole body tattooed and how many thousands of dollars that cost him. And in this interview, he said, I wish I had not done that. Oh, well, that's not as bad as the fellow who jumped off the Empire State Building and as he was falling 32nd floor. Man, what an exhilarating experience this is. He had a tape recorder. Floor 20. Well, I think I've made a big mistake. Splash. That's life, isn't it? And we have to pause along the way to have a humorous moment in this because we all know what this is about. Making unwise decisions. And this next one really, as we say, it blows my mind. Here's Solomon, a wise man. His Proverbs, his Ecclesiastes, his Song of Solomon is still the greatest love story between a husband and wife ever written. Then his wisdom for success in Proverbs and Ecclesiastes has been plagiarized by thousands of people, still the best rules. And yet, how dumb was that man, having all of those wives and as the little boy said, all of those concubines. And the Bible says that those pagan women, 1 Kings 11, 1 through 8, turned his heart from God. He made some unwise choices. Even though he was said to be the wisest man, that would be in the temporal things. And the Bible says it like this, "What shall it profit a man, Mark 8, if a man gains the whole world and loses his soul? Zero. No profit." Then there is Judas. There was a special on TV not long ago. It may have been around since Noah, I don't know. Sometimes it's hard to catch up. But it was showing the results of the name Adolf Hitler. And I was surprised to find literally hundreds of people in America even had the name Adolf Hitler. Some had changed some of the letters in it. One young girl in high school still had that name because I wouldn't want to be named even Adolf, much less have the last name Hitler. But then there is Judas. Maybe your name is Judas, I don't know. One of my J's is not Judas, okay? People always ask, well, what does the J stand for? I said, truth, righteousness, and the American way. All of that and more. I'm for all of the amendments plus. We know the story. 30 pieces of silver. He sold the Son of God. And we know the rest of the story. Every kid in a Bible class knows it. That it so broke his heart and challenged his existence that he had to go out, and the Bible says he went to his own place. You can reserve your place by the decisions that you've made. Obviously, you can make some wonderful ones that'll move you ahead with favorability, success, so forth. Or you can reserve a place of destruction, shame, and so forth. Judas went to his own place. Matthew 27, 1 through 11. And then, lest we miss lunch because those other folks will get there ahead of us, there is the terrorist himself, the champion terrorist, Saul of Tarsus. We meet him, he's breathing out threats against the Christians. He was a Pharisee among Pharisees. He was a persecutor. But then on the road to Damascus, he hit the penitent trail. And he turned his life around. And thereafter, he would lament the fact. But rejoice in the fact that he'd found Christ. And his life was not just reformed. He didn't just stop a few external things that people can see and judge you by. But his life was transformed. And ladies and gentlemen, that's the big difference between churchianity and Christianity. Reforming or transforming. And so, the Bible is very, very clear that every day, and I know I take this out of context, Joshua 24:15, as Israel is getting ready to go over and take the promised land, live in houses they haven't built, enjoying life and so forth that God has given them in the promised land. And so they're getting ready to cross that river, and Joshua said, in essence, here's how I hear him. Folks, I don't know what you're going to do. Like this morning, I don't know what you're going to do. You may make a wise decision this morning. You may make no decision. And I hope no one makes a dumb decision. Amen? Two people said that. Rest of you need to get on board. He says, and this is my lead into, I don't know what you're going to do. But here we go to something different. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Choose you this day. Now here's a good old Louisiana saying. You can't put stink back in a skunk. But guess what? You can't put toothpaste back in a tube. I used to have students that would say, yes, I can. They'd split the side of the tube and try to put it back in, but we know what that is about. You can't change yesterday. It's gone. Tomorrow's not here, but guess what? This is the wonderful now. And isn't that great? For such a time as this, God has brought us here. And so, yes, I look back and I wished I had made this decision. I wish I had not made that decision. But right now is the beautiful moment that I can make a decision. As a Christian, and we've just had supper with the King, and that is guaranteeing, or it should be, that we have affirmed to our fellow covenant members that we're going to help them keep the covenant, that we are committed and recommitted to the blood of Christ and to the cross of Christ and to the mission He's given us, and we're ready to go forth and fight another day. I do not know if there's anyone in this room who has not made that wisest of all decisions. Years ago, in fact, I think I wrote it when I was at Newland and I taught the lessons here, and the book is still out there. In heaven, you'll be glad you didn't quit. And this morning, that's a guarantee I have for you. If you'll make that wise decision this morning of making Christ the Lord of your life. And that response is, in one sense, simple, but yet it will require everything that you have and will ever have. And Jesus put it like this in Matthew 16:24. Here's the beginning of your thought process relative to decision. If any man, that's any of us, will come after me, open invitation, let him deny himself. And that's the hardest thing to do. I can deny Isabel, I can deny my family, I can deny you, but to deny myself. Satan says, you're the center of the universe, man. It's all for you. It's all for your benefit. Let him deny himself. That's transformation. He didn't say, just knock off a few external things. Become a hypocrite. Play a part. Deny yourself. And then, of all things, take up your cross. Today, he would say, get in the electric chair. Let them put the gas to you. Death. Deny yourself. Take up a cross. And the Greek says, keep on following me. You'll be hated of your family. You'll be hated of all nations. People will speak evil of you. They'll deliver you up. That's the Christianity that Christ talked about. And that's the Christianity that he says, I offer you relative to making a decision. And thus the cross becomes a stumbling block. It becomes a laughing point. And Paul talked about this in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And so we could go on and on and on talking about others' unwise decisions and our unwise decisions. But right now we're at the point of making a decision. What will you intentionally do because you've heard a lesson this morning about wise and unwise decisions? That's the test. What will you intention, not, well, I want to do this, I think I'll do this, but what will you intentionally do with the challenge to make a wise decision? And I have no plethora of things to suggest because it's between you and the Lord. But surely there's something that will help you. Wisdom is gained through learning, experience, education that is properly used. For example, let's say I know how to make a bomb. That's not a very popular subject. I know how to bring all of the parts together, all of the things together. And so that's my knowledge. But suppose I take and do something stupid with that. That's not wisdom, is it? So it's taking what is good and what is proper and what honors God, what glorifies Him, Ephesians 3 and verse 21. And use it for the higher good. That's wisdom. But then to take and do something that's not wise. And so I think, and I'm not going to debate this, I think you have to know something before you can do something. So knowledge and wisdom. But you can have all the knowledge in the world and be foolish. Amen? And so God is wanting us to grow in knowledge, grow in His Word. Ladies and gentlemen, the only way I've ever found that you can do that is not through academic pursuits. Yes, we need to study, we need to pass tests and so forth, but to do it. You remember what you do, amen? You remember loving your enemy. You remember, why is it we can't be empathetic towards sinners? I've never had cancer yet, I don't think. But I've had a stroke, and I guarantee you I'm very empathetic and sympathetic towards someone who has had a stroke or surgery. Why is it we can't have that toward people who are sinners? And ladies and gentlemen, everybody's a sinner. And we have the audacity to look at them as though they are some kind of eternal evil. And that's what we are. But we've been saved by the grace and blood and redemption of Jesus Christ because we made that decision. And so, what have we learned? Jesus said, there's two ways to build. You can build as a wise man or you can build as a foolish man. The wise man says there's a way that seems right. We need to check our direction. We need to check the milestones along the way. We need to realize that all around us, and even in our own past life, there are these unwise decisions. This one thing we do know, as Paul says, forgetting those things which are behind. And they'll come back and haunt you, but you know they've been taken away by the blood of Christ. Free at last, free at last. Thank God Almighty, I'm free. Yes, that's sin too. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. And so we went through a litany of people, starting with Mother Eve, and coming down to the terrorist himself, Saul of Tarsus, who made unwise decisions. And so it doesn't give us a pat on the back, but it says, my birth certificate says I'm human, and that's why I've made some unwise decisions. But this morning, though, I'm going to intentionally look a little closer and get off of the habituation mode of living that I've been on, especially with regard to people and the gospel and so forth. Think about this while together we stand and sing that song of opportunity that has been announced this morning.